Check, check. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. So we're going to get into worship here. And I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for just the beauty that you are, God. And I just pray this morning that our hearts would be focused on you, our minds would be focused on you, God. And just pray, Lord, as we get to worship you this morning, Lord, that our hearts, Father God, would be open to what you have for us. Lord, I pray for every family that calls this place home, every family that will in the future call this place home. Yeah, God, I just pray that you would bless their families, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that your presence, Lord, is evident in this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that you are moving. And Father God, we just pray that today, God, today we would encounter your presence. We love you so much, God. We worship your name in Jesus' name. Amen. feel the armor, and your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, oh. Your presence. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're all in me. Oh, in your presence. Oh, yeah, I'm tasting and seeing. And I'm tasting and seeing.
Your presence, let us experience the glory. presence. Lord, we bid you come. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open. Our praise is for you, Lord, as we lift it to you. Lord, we just pray for your presence and your touch, Lord, today. Lord, we pray that you will just abound in us and abound in this service.
You. To make it personal. So let's sing, "You Love Me, Oh How You Love Me." Thank you for your love that hung on a cross and demonstrated your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that as Eric was singing, it doesn't matter if we're sinning, it doesn't matter if we're doing things perfect, it doesn't matter what we're doing, you love us. You love us because you are love. You are perfect love. Lord, I just ask today that all of us in this new year, Lord, in this year of 2023, Lord, that we would learn to experience your love in a more real way, Lord, in each and every one of our lives. Lord, that we would experience, Lord, your love so that we could give your love out, Lord, as a free gift as we freely received it. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being the one that has allowed us to receive the love of God in a way that we can know it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He loves us. Because he loves us, we can now love him back. We can love him with our lives. We can love him with our hearts. We can love him with our soul and our mind, with all our strength, because he first loves us. Amen. Amen. Why don't you take a few minutes and greet each other? Thank you, team. Great job. Praise the Lord.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Find our seats. We are going to get into our declarations over the city. This is our time that we just declare the goodness of God over the city of Yakima, as well as the whole valley, because I know all of us are not directly in the city. And so if you would, Ken, you could put that first slide up there. If you would, stand with me. We're going to say this together in unison. And we're going to declare God's goodness over our beautiful city, because we believe this here at this church. God is not done with the city of Yakima. He is. We're not just a blip on the map in Washington that nobody knows about, but we actually have something to offer our nation and our world. So say this with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today, we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for our city. I thank you for our valley, God, and I just pray blessings over this place. I pray blessings over this land, God. I declare it is holy land, Lord. I declare, Lord, like they saw revivals happen in the Jesus movement, God, we would see revival happen and sweep the streets of our city, God. Every church in our city, Lord, would be full of people that are hungry for you. Every home would be full of people that are hungry for your presence, God. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you are doing something mighty in this valley, God, that you are not done with us. You have not forgotten us, God, that regardless of what the news says, regardless of what the reputation that it holds, God, that Yakima will be saved, that Yakima will experience revival, that there is revival happening in this place. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're moving in this place. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You guys can be seated. We have really just two announcements, the first one being this. So we did this last year, and it was great. So 21 days waiting on God. This is all church prayer and fast. And last year was really powerful. We did this as a unit. We got a text chain together, and those who were going after it, it was really great. Nancy and myself and Pastor Mike and Gay would send out encouraging words every day in this group chat. And so we'll get that maybe pass around something next week if you want to sign up for that, if you want to be a part of this group chat. But this is taking time. We're not original in this. Churches all over the world or all over the nation are doing 21 days prayer and fast. However, what I want you guys to understand is that we're doing this with intention. We're not doing this just to do it. We're actually doing it because we want to experience God. Pastor Mike really wanted to emphasize that we're doing 21 days waiting for God, that we really wanted to make sure that this isn't just a time where we're giving up something for 21 days so we can be miserable for 21 days. I did coffee last year, and Jesus could have took me then and I would have been fine. Okay. But this isn't just a time for us to just to lay down something, but it's to lay it down on purpose, lay it down with purpose. And so we're going to start on the 9th, which is two Mondays from tomorrow. And so take the next week or so and just really pray what God's laying on your heart to lay down for 21 days. And yes, Gigi. One Monday from tomorrow. And so just take this time to just be thinking about that. And so that's January 9th to January 30th. So it'll start one Monday from tomorrow, and then we'll end the last Monday of January. Okay? And then I think, yeah. And so before I do that, next week, next Sunday, we're going to be taking these decorations down, much like we did when we set them up. So after church, we're going to, you know, the more hands that help, the faster it'll go. And we'll take down all the Christmas decorations and out with the old and in with the new. And so we would love everybody, anybody who can help to stay afterwards and help. And last but not least, Pastor Mike and Gideon, you guys want to join me up here? Last but not least, thank you for giving. Those of you who give to One Life, we appreciate it. And for sowing into the house of the Lord and giving to what we're doing here at One Life Family Worship. You can give online. You can give in the box here and the box in the back. And we appreciate you guys all. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, can you believe it's 2023?
What?
Is that yours?
Yeah, that one's yours. If you want one. No?
I can't believe it.
I was putting down the title of the message when I was creating the PowerPoint. I put down the title and I put 23. So all of us will have our week or two of putting 2022 on stuff for a while. Does anybody else do that? Yeah. What? Yeah, it is. Yours a month, huh? Well, praise the Lord. So today we're going to be sharing on what it means to wait, which I think is appropriate because it's kind of the theme for our 21 days. So I'm kind of always a little bit of a thinker, and so I came up with this title, A Fast Way to Wait. It's kind of an oxymoron, but it's really a really truth, because fasting is like one of the ultimate ways that we can wait for God and wait on God. And we're going to look at some scriptures that promise us what happens when we wait, what God is looking for when we're waiting, and how we can be blessed and bless others when we're waiting. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to start off, though, by... We both thought of a song this morning. When I was doing this, I thought a song of Aaron Keyes, and it's called Sovereign Over Us. But it says in the song, he's working in our waiting. And so even though we sometimes are thinking that, you know, it's a 21 days of fasting and, you know, maybe when I'm done, I'll get something. No, just know that when you're in the process, he's working.
Yeah.
From day one that you decide, just as the angel told Daniel, from the very first day you started seeking me, I was coming with the answer, but for 21 days I was withheld. We had a war in the heavenlies. So he was already working. Mm-hmm. Daniel hadn't seen the answer, but God was already at work. I want to encourage you that from the very first day of this year, this could be a year of waiting, not just 21 days, but you having an expectancy of what God can do in your life this year. Not just for 21 days. Amen?
And it can be many things. It can be... It reminds me of when Stephen, our son Stephen, was born. And we were given the news he had cerebral palsy. And I specifically remember feeling as if I needed to pray each thing into existence. And so I prayed, Jesus, let him do this. And then when he did that, I thanked the Lord for that, and then I moved to the next thing. And it's not that in 21 days, God will wait until day 21 before he moves in your life, because it can happen on a daily basis. It can be, you can be praying for something, God answer, thank you, Lord, and then move to the next thing. And this, he's working in our waiting. It's... This song has probably been the most powerful song for me in a long time, because it shows the power of God and describes the power of God working in our waiting. Sometimes, like, it reminds me of Leo and Letty. Like, you guys waited a long time for Leo to get surgery, and time and time and time again, something would happen, and it didn't happen. But finally, right when it was perfect and all that God had done up to that point, when it happened and it was perfection for your lives, for your kids' lives, for your whole family's life, because in that God miraculously touched Leo, you know? So don't think that God is not working hard while we're waiting to see something happen. He is working very hard on our behalf.
That's good. So this is four verses, but I really focus on the last verse. But I wanted to read all of them because it puts it in context. Go ahead.
Isaiah 64, 1 through 4 in the ESV version. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just looking at these quickly, verse 1. Oh, that you would rent the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries and that the nations might tremble at your presence. This is someone that's hungry. This is someone saying, God, move. Move like you've done before. You know, verse 3 says, you've done things even when we weren't looking for you to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had so many times in my life that I've realized that God has been doing something in me when I really didn't realize it mm-hmm. until I was needing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, whoa, where did this come from? Where did this deposit come from? I didn't think I was preparing myself with that deposit, but God was putting something in me.
Yeah.
Or God's done things for us that we weren't even asking for because he just loves us
yeah.
and he wants to bless us. So let's look at verse 4 a little more deeply. It's kind of the key verse.
For of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him.
From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You know, it's something that we have that a lot of us don't appreciate sometimes, and that is God with us, God in us, God being our Father, God being our source. And there's nobody that has seen anything, anyone, any other deity, anything that compares to our God. That's what this Isaiah is saying here. From of old, no one has ever perceived, thought about, seen anyone that moves like you move for those who are waiting for you. This word wait is a verb. So when you're waiting, you don't think like you're having much action going on. But how many know that a verb is an action word?
Right.
It means that something's happening. You know, when you're standing waiting, it doesn't seem like something's happening. Especially if you're waiting in a line to get your groceries, right? You're in line, someone's ahead of you, and all of a sudden they've got an item that doesn't have a price on it. Oh, and you're looking around, oh, they're all about this long, so I'm just going to stay here. You know, then someone's running to check the price, and you're waiting, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Yeah, and in natural life, sometimes that's the case, but with God, when we're waiting, it's an action word. We're doing something. We're performing an act that is accomplishing something. As it says here, God, there's no God beside you who acts, who works for us, mm-hmm. for those who wait for him. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited for the 21-day fast. That tells me that as I move into this 21 days and prepare my heart for the 21 days, and don't wait to day one to prepare your heart. You're going to be spending then 4 or 5 days trying to take some time and start reading your word. Take some time and start setting some time aside. And say, Lord, I want to be ready when I move into this 21 days. So from I'm hitting the ground running. You know, you don't want to start off and it takes, you know, half the fast to be ready to really start receiving what God has for you. So that's my encouragement. Doesn't mean you have to start fasting things, but start preparing your heart. We used to have encounters, and we would take 3 days before the encounter, sometimes longer, sometimes a full week. Some of us got really rowdy, radical. And we would take that time, and we would fast. And we were fasting to prepare our hearts for 3 days away.
Right.
So that we could receive everything that the Lord wanted for us. So maybe it is a good idea to fast before you fast. Fast maybe some minor things before you fast the big things. Start, because what we're doing is, like Eric said, we're not doing this so that, oh yeah, our flesh is miserable, you know, and we're wanting God to see our misery. We'll look at the end of this lesson that's not what we're after. What we're doing is we're preparing our spirits to be more alive to God. Our spirits are alive to God, but our soul doesn't always sense it. You know, sometimes it takes like us to get really quiet. You know, I've been with people before and I'm driving my car and they say, hey, you don't have like the radio on, or Tim always used to say, Dad, turn the radio on. I said, I don't want to. This is an opportunity for some quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and to this day, I really prefer kind of quiet when I'm driving, just because it lets me hear, not necessarily the Lord all the time, but hear the quiet and hear maybe what my heart's trying to tell me or what my spirit's trying to tell me.
I do. It kind of reminds me of my grandma who lived in Florida. She always had a really big garden, and it would take weeks to prepare that land, that soil, to receive the seeds.
Oh, that's good.
That was going to be put into that soil for fruit or vegetable or whatever to grow. And so this week, before we even start a week from Monday, if we're preparing our soil, if we're preparing where God's going to be doing the work, now is the time to start that, not a week from Monday. Because a week from Monday, I believe we're going to begin to see very powerful things happen. Even before then, I believe we will see very powerful things begin to happen. But we have to prepare the soil of our heart. We have to prepare for God to be able to drop seeds in to us that will be a growth thing for somebody else, for us to help somebody else. And so I see it as a garden, and I believe that now is the time to prepare the land.
That's good. That's good. This word haka means to wait, to tarry. I like this one, a longing for. You know, if we're longing for the presence of the Lord during this 21 days, I believe, you know, we'll find it. You know, you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's Jeremiah 29, 13 or 12, 11, 13, yeah, 11. Yeah, 11, that's right. And hoping for, desiring. It means a verb indicating to wait, to tarry, indicates a delaying in action. It refers to a longing or hoping for something to happen. And the something to happen doesn't mean like it has to be, you know, eye-popping. It can just be something happens in us or something happens in a situation with us. You know, maybe we desire a change in our life. This 21 days could help where you can hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And know maybe to make the change, or maybe wait. Don't change, yeah. Daughter. Don't change, son. I've got my perfect timing for you. All right. Let's look at this verse 4 from some other translations. I always like doing that. This is the Message.
Since before time began, no one has ever imagined, no ear heard, no eye seen, a God like you who works for those who wait for him.
Who works for those who wait for him. I mean, we never think about God working for us, you know. But he says that that's what he wants to do. He wants to help us. And so waiting, that verb waiting, which means you're doing something, you're expecting, you're hoping, you're longing, you're looking. Sometimes you're praying as part of waiting. And he's ready to work for those who are waiting for him.
Well, the master gardener is the one that tills the land.
Yeah.
So if we say, Lord, till the soil of my heart, that till is sharp and it cuts deep into the ground. And if we allow God to till the soil of our hearts, he will get down where the depth of the soil is that needs to be turned over, the nutrients pulled up. The health of the land is way far below where the soil has settled on top. And God needs to get to that. So what about your heart? Is it packed with soil that you've been dancing on? Stepping on? Can we allow him to till our hearts so deeply that the fresh soil comes up to meet the seed that's necessary for our growth?
You realize tilling's a violent action. Have you ever ran those tills? It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, so get ready, potentially, if you're asking the Lord to till your heart, for violent action. But it's good because it prepares us.
It does.
As you keep saying that, I'm like, wow.
That's just what I'm getting.
I know. Isaiah 64:4 in the Amplified.
For from of old. Yep, that was right. No one has heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who works and shows himself active on behalf of him who earnestly waits for him.
Amen. The key here is he's going to show himself active. I look at it like it's God's going to prove himself to you. You know, there's a scripture that talks about in tithing to test the Lord and see if he wouldn't, you know, if you tithe, pour out windows of blessing from heaven upon you. Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon you that you can't even contain it. I really believe God likes, and I know this is kind of a strong word, but kind of in a way show off. He likes to reveal himself sometimes in grand ways so that we can see, oh my goodness, you are so much bigger and grander than I think sometimes. I remember the time that I was just asking for a healing for a tooth that had become abscess. And I went to bed that night, and I woke up like at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it felt like, you know, you've seen the nuclear bombs when they go off. It's like, and then all of a sudden, you know, the light shines, but then all of a sudden the sonic wave of power comes, you know, and it's like wind that knocks over trees and houses and everything. Well, I felt that like start in the bottom of my feet. And I'm like, went just all the way up my leg, up my back, and up top of my head. And I woke up and it's like, well, what just happened? And I realized the pain from my tooth was gone. I don't know why he didn't just like, oh, pain from your tooth is gone. No, he wanted to show off. He started the very bottom of my feet. And I don't know what all he did. Had I probably had the faith, the understanding, I could have walked in maybe in total health forever, for all I know, you know. But that need of that tooth was fixed.
Didn't you see the clock way across the room?
Oh yeah, I wore glasses, and I remember looking across the room. I could see perfectly the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't go, oh Lord, I received this healing. I just like, oh my tooth, you know. And then by the morning, I would put my glasses back on because.
But he was
showing off. He was acting for. I was earnestly seeking him for not having to go pay for a root canal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I told you guys, but I went to the dentist.
Years and years and years
later. Oh, yeah, like probably 15 years later. And when he was doing my tooth, he said, oh, doesn't this hurt? I said, no. He said, well, this is an abscess tooth. So God stopped the pain, didn't necessarily heal the tooth, but my need was met. And maybe I just said, Lord, can you stop this? I don't know what I asked him, you know. So, but he made it so all those years, it, you know, because abscess teeth are infected, never affected me. So he likes to show off. At least he has done that for me a couple of times. I don't know. You guys might experience during the 21-day him showing off in your life. That'd be kind of cool, huh?
Amen.
All right. This is another psalm that talks about our waiting. Go ahead.
Psalm 33:20, Amplified. We wait expectantly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
New International Easy Version says.
Okay. We wait in hope for the Lord. He helps us. He is like a shield that keeps us safe.
We wait. We wait. We look. We long for. We're expecting God to do something. And that's the heart. Not that we just need for the 21 days. This is a heart that we need as his people. That we don't rely on, you know, the world to meet our needs. That we're not relying on our check that we get every you know, pay period, that's going to meet our needs, you know, because we don't know if we're going to have a job in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It can go away. Ask Eric. One day he thought, wow, I've got the great job and everything. He's getting a little tired of it, but I mean, it went one day, right? One day he's working, the next day he wasn't. Not anything he did, just the company. But you know what? That job wasn't his source. God was his source.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, we need to make it so that the government's not our source. Nothing is our source except from God. And I encourage you that if you're praying for your food, sending out for a meal, remember that he's your source. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it came from farmers, it came from manufacturers, all those. Be thankful for God allowing this. But God is really the one mm-hmm. who allowed us to have that food, whether it's small or large. All right. Got another verse, Isaiah 30:18.
Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him.
Oh, this reminds me kind of like deep crying out to deep. It's like our depth of longing for him is crying out to the one who is deep that's longing for us. See, God is not just saying, oh, yeah, they're down there doing something. No, he's going, oh, I'm longing for them to draw close to me. Fasting is a great time to draw close to God, I'm telling you. Because you're excluding things from your life that are distractions, whether it be food, TV, social media.
Coffee.
That was a distraction to you. Coffee is a distraction, huh? I mean, he was focused during those 21 days. I would have thought that he was like going without total food because it was something that his body craved. And he said, no, you know, I'm gonna buffet my flesh and seek you, you know. Not buffet your flesh, buffet your flesh, right?
Right.
So, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He wants to bless us. Not necessarily with a new car, with a new house, or a new boat. I mean, those are all nice. He wants to bless us with his presence. He wants to bless us with what we need to be more spiritually sound in our life, to be more successful as his children. I believe that. Amen? Amen. Okay, here's one that really goes along with waiting.
Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Isn't Isaiah a powerful book? There's such amazing verses. Have you not known? Have you not heard? In other words, have you guys not known? Have you not experienced? Have you not seen what God can do? The Creator, the one who created all the heavens and the earth, he does not faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. In other words, he's massive.
Right.
You cannot figure God out. He's massive. If you think you know who God is, you're fooling yourself. Because he's so much more than what our little brains can think he is. Because he is the is. That's what he said. What's your name, God? I am that I am. I'm all that is. That's it. That's who I am. That's what he was saying. I is it, Moses. What does that mean? Well, you'll see. As you have need, I will be. And that's who he is in our lives. If we can expect and look for him. And then it says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. In our weakness, what? His strength is perfected. That's what he's saying here. And then even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be exhausted. Hear that, Mom? Even youths get faint and weak. Hear that, Mom? Even youths get faint and weak. But I'm telling you that it's nothing compared to the strength that God can give us. Their greatest strength in the physical is nothing to our strength in the spiritual. Amen? But they wait, but they who wait for the Lord, renewing their strength, mounting up like wings like eagles, running and not being weary, walking and not faint. Wouldn't it be good to go through this year with renewed strength, with the hindsight and the view and the perspective of like an eagle over the entire scene? Running and not being weary, being able to run this year for the Lord and not, oh man, I'm growing weary and well-doing. No, you're not, because you've waited on the Lord and you're staying in that restoration that he brought to your life and walking and not fainting. This is a promise. I mean, if you guys don't know Isaiah 40:31, try to memorize it. But from 28 on, actually the whole book of Isaiah is amazing. That chapter, Isaiah 40, is great, but if you could just key in on one verse, memorize 40:31. Let's look at it another way. Are you looking for something?
I am. Could you read it?
Yes. This is the message. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. But those who wait upon, I wanted to key in on this wait upon. This isn't the exact same word that we were using in the other Isaiah. This one literally means like you can wait upon God. You can be focusing on him. Like, Lord, what are your needs? What do you need? You know, God doesn't seem like he needs anything, but he needs us based on our brothers and sisters out there, those that don't know him. Keep in mind when he said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. So he does have needs, but they're not the kind of needs that we're thinking needs. These are people that are representing God. And if we're waiting upon God, this reminds me of Isaiah 58. It says, you know, you fast and you know, and you make it look like, you know, you're all miserable and everything. But the fast that I really choose is to loose the bond of the oppressed and to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked. And it's basically to meet the needs of others is the ultimate fast.
That's Isaiah 58,
Isaiah
right?
58, yeah. This kind of, that what I was saying kind of reminded me of that. Here's another, Isaiah 40:31 in the Amplified.
But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired.
Amen. Those who wait for the Lord, who are expecting, looking for, hoping in. That's part of what is a successful Christian life, is expecting God to work in your life, looking for him, waiting for him, hoping in him. But I like this, they shall change and renew their strength. It's almost like an exchange that goes on when we're his children. We exchange our weakness for his strength. We exchange our poverty for his riches. We exchange our sin, because he took our sin on the cross, for his righteousness and glory. We exchange, you know, our depression for his hope and joy. It's a great exchange that takes place. He takes our sorrow and he gives us joy.
He exchanges it.
Amen? So you're saying, okay, you talked a lot about waiting, so how does this all come together with fasting? Well, I've kind of incorporated it, but I thought, okay, I need a verse. So I really was kind of led with this verse, a little bit of research I did, and it is perfect, really, to end with. And this is Matthew 6, 16 through 18.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Isn't that something? Your Father who sees in secret will reward you, will act for you as you're waiting for him in secret. That's why I'm always fairly careful about what I say I'm doing for fasting, especially during the fasting time, because I don't want to have any reward of people going, oh, wow, that's so impressive. That's amazing that you're doing that. You know, you're so much more spiritual than I am. Well, I'm receiving my reward. No, I want the reward that comes from the Father in secret.
Right.
My Father who sees me in secret knows that consecration that I've made in my heart to him, and that sacrificial change of lifestyle that I made is dedicated to him for what he wants to give me, not for what adulations I receive from the world.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be like the hypocrites. But when you fast, notice it says when you fast. Fasting is part of the Christian walk. I know some people don't like hearing that. Like, oh, man, I can't just skip that part. Well, you can, but you may be selling yourself short. There may be more that God wants to do in your life. And because you're consuming your life with the weight of this world, which, you know, sometimes food can be the weight of the world because it's really pleasurable to eat, especially if it's good food, right? And it's really fun to watch things on our devices or TV shows that we really, really like. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving up something, again, not to twist his arm. You can't twist God's arm. But it's to allow ourselves, as you said, to be able to receive.
Right.
It's amazing that we can sometimes be the dam that stops God from being able to work in our life. You know, no, we can stop God? Well, I remember this scripture, and I encourage you to remember it, because it lets you know that our faith and the way that we're looking towards Jesus and God can really cause his inability to help us. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus in his own hometown couldn't do one mighty work, except maybe a cold or two. This was the one who raised the dead. This is the one who, you know,
made the lame walk,
fed the 5,000. Yet in his own hometown, he couldn't do a mighty work. Why? It says because of their unbelief. They knew him as the carpenter's son. They knew him as a little boy who played, you know, with their kids playing games. They despised who he was because they knew him in the natural.
Right.
And he couldn't do any work. So that sometimes the more familiar we get with God, oh, I know who God is. I know how all this Christianity stuff works. We're almost denying the power of him working in our lives. We need to look at him like, oh, he's so much more, so much more immense than I can ever know or figure out. And we give him the opportunity to be amazing. We give him the opportunity to blow our minds. Mm-hmm. Amen? So let's all find a fast way to wait this year. Amen. Do you have a song for us, Eric? All right. Does anyone have anything to share, though? A testimony, maybe, of what's happened sometime when you fasted, or maybe the Lord's inspiring something on your heart for today? Anyone? Okay. Amen. Amen. You're saying that from personal experience, what you're having to walk through. But yep, just know that he's in charge. And that if we give... Exactly. If we give the situation to him, put it into his hands, commit it. As it says, commit your ways to me. He'll establish our steps. And I believe he'll put good words in our mouth. And our hearts will be right when we interact with people. That's good. Thank you, Lil. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're longing for us, Lord, to long for you, to wait for you. And Lord, I pray that in these coming days, Lord, in preparation to our 21-day fast, Lord, that you would show all of us, Lord, what we can give to you as a dedication, what we can give to you to show our longing and our desire to have more of you. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're working in our waiting. Lord, even now you're going to be working in our lives, Lord, helping us to prepare for this time. And Lord, I pray for those that have never fasted before, have never been in an experience like this, Lord, that you would just encourage them. Encourage them, Lord, of that they can do more than they think they can do. That they can give up things, Lord, that they think they can't give up. And they'll find, Lord, that when they give up something, Lord, that you're giving them something to replace it. You're giving your presence. You're letting them experience a deeper level of your love. You're showing them truths about who you are in their life, Lord, and who you want to be in their life. So, Lord, we just ask that as we go through this month, you would help all of us find that fast way to wait for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are perfect in all our ways. You are perfect in all our ways. Perfect in all our ways. To so much just for your goodness and mercy and kindness. God, I just pray that as we embark in the new year, God, regardless of what last year brought us, Lord, regardless of what trials came our way, God, that we would not forget you are always with us through it all. Lord, that we would come into this year knowing that as well, God. Just as Jesus went into his 40 days and nights in the wilderness, God, that we would, like him, go into this with Holy Spirit and come out with Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that you're with us through it all. And we just pray, Lord, right now, as we pray into what you want us to fast, what you want us to focus on, Lord, that you would reveal it to our hearts today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this church, what you're doing in our city. God, we just release blessings upon blessings on everybody's health, over everybody's finances, over everybody's homes and families, God. We just pray for this week, God, that our minds and our spirits and our hearts will be focused in on you. And I thank you so much, God, for your goodness and your love for each and every one of us. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, everybody.